Okay, I want to talk about tonight, what are the hallmarks of KFC, KFI, King's Fire International? When me and Vaughn were talking about it a month or so ago, he said, well, what, we want to bring it all as one, what, can we name it? And I said, well, what about King's Fire Church? And he said, wow, King's Fire sounds good, but church, the abbreviation will be KFC, that's ridiculous. So I said, well, what, international? He said, yeah, that's good, we'll do that, King's Fire International. So, but what are our hallmarks? In other words, what are our distinguishing signs? And we'll have plenty of time tonight because it's only me speaking, and then we'll get you guys activated in the spirit. And I want to see outstanding words of knowledge tonight of names of people and people you don't know, of course. I want to have street names, what time they went to the bathroom today. If you can't do that, don't give any words of knowledge tonight. I'm teasing you, I'm teasing. But it's good, and we don't usually start as early as this. Usually we're still worshipping, but for the late ones, they can be late. Okay, Acts chapter 28, if you'd like to turn there. What are the hallmarks? What are the distinguishing signs of this revival, of this King's Fire International? You've got to inspirationally teach on this sort of things because, as you've heard me say lots of times, the Bible's very clear that my people perish through lack of knowledge. So it's one thing to say, when you go out in the street and say revival, people will say, what do you mean by revival? I don't want you to give them your definition. I want you to give them what you're a part of, his definition, because we're trying to get people into this revival. And so you've got to change your words into these words, but in your style. You know, it's no use going and people say, well, what's this revival all about? Well, I don't know. People just fall down. That's not really good enough. It's a lot more than people falling down and laughing. That's a good part of it. It's a lot more than souls being saved. It's where people are falling in love with Jesus and making him the central theme and Lord of their lives. And it's where people, where nothing else fascinates them as being close to God, where, you know, you just look to him and he helps you in every situation, things like that. So what are our distinguishing signs? What can you write down and commit it into memory and commit it into your spirit, that when you're out there ministering in your style and the way you do it, but it's got to be representing the vision of where we're going, or what's the point in doing it? Because it's all about souls. Yes, it is all about souls. But tell me, what would be the point of you getting on fire in this revival? You go out there and lead someone to Jesus. You don't follow them up, but they love God. They end up in a Baptist church. I mean, God loves the Baptist, but they ain't going to stay saved too long because they were saved from a revival spirit. But you didn't bring him to a revival spirit. You put him in a dead church. And God's got his people everywhere. But obviously the people you're reaching, wherever possible, he wants here. That's obvious. That's not being segregated. That's just fact. Any pastor with a vision wants people in his vision who the Lord's calling to it. It's obvious. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, David's a boat builder. He doesn't want people to come and go to the boat builder next door. He wants to receive the work. But if he's got too much work on, he might say, look, I haven't got time, but guy across the road, he's a good boat builder too. And so, you know, the only time we want to knock back people is when so many are getting saved here, we can't possibly contain them all. So we'll have to start other churches, because I just don't know of any other churches that are moving in the revival spirit at the moment. Great people, wouldn't knock them, but we've come here to build this thing. That's what it's all about, in God, with him getting all the glory. Okay, Acts 28, excuse me, that was a Pentecostal cough. I have a sore throat, you see. All right, what are the hallmarks, distinguishing signs of Kingston Fire International? Acts 28:1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. That's where they got malt from, where they put it in milkshakes. They got it from Malta, in case you're wondering. And the islanders showed us unusual kindness. Now, we're looking at what are the distinguishing marks. I'm speaking what's already here, but some of the things are a prophetic thing of what we want to see more and more develop in this church. What's the first distinguishing sign of King's Fire International? Well, number one, unusual kindness. These islanders showed Paul the Apostle unusual kindness. That means extraordinary, noteworthy kindness. They just didn't give Paul and his team a smile. They really got incredibly involved in what they were doing. they showed them extraordinary. It's like coming to a prayer meeting. You can either have a prayer meeting or extraordinary prayer. The Tuesday to Friday prayer meetings from 7 till 6 in the morning till 8 aren't really designed for powerful prayer, although you're welcome to do that. It's designed to wait on God and to hunger for God and tarry in His presence. Then every now and again, a few ladies started interceding this morning. That's fine. Just be led by the Spirit in that way. But it's not primarily designed for, I wouldn't call a prayer meeting for 2 hours, for total intercession for 2 hours. You burn everybody out, you know. And so it's a matter of waiting on God and doing things like that. Okay. And so unusual kindness, that's extraordinary, noteworthy kindness. And that word actually means unusual kindness. It's taken from the Greek word philanthropy. Now, philanthropy sounds like Donald Duck, doesn't it? Philanthropy. Philanthropy. Everyone say philanthropy. Can you say philanthropy? Let me hear you say it, Brian. Philanthropy. It's philanthropy, to be exact. And it's not tomato, it's tomato. Huh? Tomato. It's tomato. Tomato. What's wrong with you Americans? Hey, I'm outnumbered, aren't I? What's wrong with me? All right, but philanthropy means kindness, love towards fellow man. And so it's an agape love of God, but it manifests itself in just the natural realm. And so if we're going to be a revival, we just don't want to be known for great signs and wonders and great glory and great worship. And, you know, we can lay hands on one person, the next 30 fall down, like we're seeing on Sunday. All those things are great, and they work when you're led by the Holy Spirit. It's all great, but we shouldn't really be known for that. They're just manifestations of the Spirit that we love. We should be known for our love for one another. We should be known that when people come here, they're going to be shown unusual kindness. Not weird kindness, not stupid, but unusual kindness, which means extraordinary, where people sit up and take notice. Hey, these guys aren't professional salesmen. They actually are showing us this kindness. They mean it. Really showing interest in someone. You know, like the Pentecostal handshake. Well, how you doing, bro? What's your name? You got to talk to me. What's your name?
Oh, my name's George.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. How you doing, George? I'm doing good. You know, first, you enjoying the service?
I'm enjoying, sir.
Oh, that's good. Thanks. It's good to see you. I mean, no. If I was him and someone did that to me, I wouldn't come back. Just on the being rude. Do you ever talk to people? They're just not interested in what you're saying. Very hard. I do that to some people at sometimes, but because I got my mind 101 different other things. But doesn't matter what we've got our mind on. If you can't talk to someone for a long time, you're in a hurry. Just tell them, look, I've really got to be somewhere else. I've got to see someone before they leave the meeting. But you just give them those 10 seconds. You're with them. Your undivided attention. That's showing unusual kindness, or taking someone out for a meal and paying for it is unusual kindness. You know, it's going the extra mile and it's thinking things up. It's not being it's got to come from the heart. People can pick up if you're just faking it. You know, they really can. You've got to mean it from your heart, and that's unusual kindness. That's what it's all about. Okay, so I honestly believe that we're starting to see the hallmarks of it. But as this revival develops more and more, I really think we're going to see. So I'm really teaching, but I'm really prophesying into what this revival is going to become on the practical side, unusual kindness. It's going to be a revival known for people who are full of love who go the second mile for people. I really believe that. Okay. And all right, in verse 2, well, we'll just keep reading. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. Now, that was literally happening, but what the revelation I got from that is, secondly, firstly, we show unusual kindness. That's a hallmark, a distinguishing factor in this revival. But also, God wants it to be, number two, we build a welcoming fire for people who are cold and depressed and have been hurt and they've got no Holy Ghost in them and they're just so on the last leg in life, so to speak. They come here, and through our prayer and love, through unusual kindness, we are building a welcoming fire where people feel welcomed in the fire of God, so to speak. But we build it in a few different areas. We build a welcoming fire of worship. Because Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, that says, "Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go that they may worship me. And of course, this was Moses when he had been given a commission by God, go and tell Pharaoh to release my people, let my people go so they might worship me. Word worship doesn't mean just a bunch of musos worshiping and we're at the front jumping up and down. That's just a small part of it. Worship means serving God with all your heart. You're worshiping God by the way you work for your boss. You worship God by the way you treat your husband, by the way you treat your wife, by the way you treat your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your friends, by your honesty. That's all part of worship. We can dance before the Lord will we like up here, but if we haven't got those things behind the scenes, it amounts to diddly squat. It really does. It's a whole life. This celebration we have in the meetings should be just a result of what we're doing at home anyway, in practical areas and worshiping God with our life. But Moses said, thus saith the Lord, as God's saying, let my people go specifically so they might worship me. So they may be sick, because they were in incredible bondage. And so we need to see people, we need to build a welcoming fire of worship where the worship and the way we live and the way we treat one another and our worship atmosphere, we're actually worshiping God with song and singing, is building a welcoming fire, and it's and people are realizing, wow, you know, these people are free. Maybe it can set me free. These people are free from all their inhibitions, and they pick it up because they see you worshiping God from your heart. So they think, I want that too. The religious won't like it, but you don't worry about them. Maybe they'll break and come into it. I'm talking about people who are hungry for God. And secondly, in building this fire, a warmth, a welcoming fire, is 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. I mean, he was building worship. It says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. So we need to have that expression, that great expression of boldness, that great expression of exuberance. I mean, David danced, and that word danced, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, they sacrificed every, I don't know, so many feet, and that was amazing. It was taking them a long time. But the Bible says David was dancing, which means he was gyrating before the Lord for all his might. Come out here, Brian, and gyrate before the Lord. You do it a lot when you're worshiping. Just do that. Just come out here and just how you do all that groovy. Yeah, just how you do all that groovy stuff. Not bad. Well, that's something like David was doing, except he was twirling around, spinning around, and to such a point where his outer garment came off and he was dancing in his undies. And his wife was watching this from the window and thought, how undignified is him in front of his servants and his people? And she was telling him off, and he came in and said, I'll be more undignified than this, you know. I'll dance even harder. I'll dance in the nudie next time. I don't know what he was meaning. But he was saying, you ain't taking away my ability and my desire to dance before God. And she was struck barren from that day forward. And you knock somebody who's free in God, you'll be struck spiritually barren. I'm telling you. I've seen it in people all the time. G'day, Cliffy. Been away for the weekend, mate. We missed you. Thank you. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. That's what we've got to do when we come into worship. We dance with all of our might. Whether it's dancing, some of us are old fatties like me, and after bopping up and down for 2 seconds, I've had it, you know. But at least get moving however it moves, even if it's some of you just like this. I mean, that elderly couple who come here, they're at the front, they're in their 70s, late 70s, and dancing around all over the place. If they can do it at that age, there's no excuse for any of us. The only reason we don't do it is we're shy, as Sharon walks in very late. But don't worry, it's okay, Sharon. Now, some of these people work very hard. So they tell me. No, they do. She's my friend and she's my lawyer, so I better watch it. And I won't say anything about the immigration department from the platform. I promised you I wouldn't do that. Bunch of jerks. Anyway, look, 2 Samuel, keep us in prayer, will you? Because they've knocked me back to be a citizen of your country again. Because they don't believe my marriage is bona fide. We have to prove now that we're actually living together. So I think we're coming up with something. We want a lot of you to sign an affidavit to prove that you see us together a lot. A bunch of junk, but that's what they're doing in this nation. And, you know, probably across the 9/11, you know, I can understand why. But it's a bit ridiculous, especially when I'm from Australia, not Arabia or somewhere. You know, I don't think I look like a terrorist. But anyhow, that's just their system. You can't fight it. You've just got to go with their demands. So I thought, well, why the heck not? There's enough of you know we're married, you know, And their words were, they just think, I came into this country to marry a wife and now I'm not even with her. What a bunch of rubbish. They only knew I was wanting to be out of here by May. I was going to raise my family up, or so to speak, with my family in Australia until this Kingston revival started. So anyway, just keep us in prayer. Really pray, because if they knock it back again, it's either having to reapply and coming up with some other way, or I get deported, which is good for me. I get a free ticket back to Australia, but it's no good for this revival. And don't worry, that won't happen. But I want to say it serious enough so you pray. You really pray God will give us favor. And I'll give Sharon and the team and us just a thing where it's anointed. Someone who gets hold of that paper this time, immigration, and we'll get a hold of it. Okay. So I'm not knocking the immigration. I'm just letting you be aware. Because how many of you want us to stay here? Oh, good. Because if you don't want me to stay, just don't pray. And then if you give a clap offering, Steve's been deported. Yay! It's my weird humor. Get lost! Okay, so David danced before the Lord with all his might. Probably because the immigration were giving him a hard time in those days too. I told you, Sharon, I wouldn't say anything, and I haven't. I'm just stirring. Hey? You do, yeah, if you get deported. Mind you, you've got to be in jail for a while till they put you on a plane with the deportees, and there's not too many get deported to Australia. It won't happen. I've given you the worst scenario. But if I get knocked back again and don't do anything about it, I'll be having a knock on the door. I should just go to Mexico and get, just become dark. Yeah, just becoming a revivalist illegal immigrant. Why not? You got millions that do that. No, we're going to do it the right way. For once in my life, I'm going to do it the right way. Seriously, the old Steve, I would have fought everything. I would have got up, picked up the phone and said, up your nose, guys. I'm staying here with you like it or not. I would have. That's ridiculous. That's stupidity. But I ain't doing it this time. Because my wife won't let me. And my lawyer won't let me. And my secretary, well, I don't know what Val is now. She's a woman of God. She's a bit of everything. You have to get used to working with Renee too. She's becoming a PA of the ministry now. Well, you can't have everything. Gosh. I know. I'm just teasing you. Anyway, where am I up to? Okay. I was just giving illustrations about welcoming fire. I'd like a bit of fire to fall on them. But anyhow, of warmth. We've got to have unusual kindness. That's a hallmark of this revival. Going out of our way with extraordinary kindness to people. But then we've got to have worship and be exuberant with that. Then we've got to have warmth. People have got to feel the warmth of the love of God coming out of our lives for people. And that word warmth, that means to restore. It means to love. It means to accept those who are cold. Accept. Is that the way you say it over here? Accept. Accept those who are cold. The hurting and the bruised in life. It's easy to be warm around people who are warm towards you. But what about someone who you go to give a hug or handshake and their barriers go up? And they don't want nothing to do with you. Are we going to take it as a personal rejection or discern immediately that poor person's been through a lot in their life and they don't trust nobody? You've got to find a way not to get in their face, but love them and give them the love of Christ coming through you and try and work on a level where you can break that barrier in them. You just don't say, well, you're cold, buzz off, you know. No, we can't do that. We've got to be warm towards people. This is all part of revival. It's not high-powered stuff we're talking about here. But it's what will keep a revival, and it'll make the difference of a few hundred coming or thousands coming. If we're going to be a movement that's going to plant churches and send missionaries all over the world, not just from overland missions, that's what we'll work with, but Vaughan wants to start sending missions trips with revival power, not just driving trucks and all that, which is good. We still will do that. But we need to start putting our name, what God's put on us, into revival. So we have our own missions and still working with them, but working with them, hey, we want our flavor. While we're over there, we want crusades. We want the power of God, you know, and finding our own way with that and things like that. Because this is going to be a movement worldwide, so it's really important. This will be like the hub in the wheel. It'll be like the headquarters, so to speak. And I would like us to be, and I know Vaughan would, more so than me, would like us to be a move of God that is got the hallmarks of Jesus in every area of our life. Part of revival is our lives change. Part of revival is getting committed. not just to revival meetings, which is hard for me to get around that because I just love revival meetings. But a part of revival sometimes is just sitting down, loving each other, is sitting down talking about stuff like this without any power flowing around. That is power in itself. That will either cause this church to have a, or this move of God to have a huge back door, filling it up with a, if we want to, if we just want big crowds in here, well, we just start advertising heavily, and we can pack this place out every night, or the nights that we're having it, quite easily with good advertising. We advertise a little bit, we don't go to extremes with it, because we're not just into entertaining a big crowd who come for the Lakeland special, but as soon as that goes, they're gone. They're lovely people who are welcome here. We're not interested in that. We're interested in building God-hungry people, whether they're unsaved, backslidden, whether God-hungry people who are going to commit themselves to this vision. For this to go worldwide, it's got to have a core of at least a couple of hundred who are going to be totally committed, whether they like some things or you'll never like everything here. I'll peeve some of you off, some of you will peeve me off, some of you will love me, and it's somebody you'll be sitting next to, you can't stand them, well, just pretend you like them, or whatever. No, don't pretend, but sort it out. Listen, you know, in the world, some of you wouldn't hang around with me and I wouldn't hang around with you. You know, have you noticed that you get led to your personality type when you're in a church, basically? You start to gravitate towards people that are a bit like you. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't create clubs and exclude everybody else. There's nothing wrong with gravitating to people that, you know, and nothing wrong with that at all. But to restore love, to accept those, even those that were cold, hurting and bruised. See, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, 30:17 says, "For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal your wounds, says the Lord." So how is God going to heal people's wounds? Through the love of people who are healed standing around them. We talk about having ministry times at the altar, but have you ever thought that the healing time starts with people, the restoration times, as soon as they get into the car park and they're greeted by people at the door? That's why we have to have anointed greeters at the door. I'm sure we have, but we need to get this drummed into us. It's not just looking nice and smiling. It's greeting people and giving them a hug in the anointing or a smile. So by the time they get into the meeting, as they're walking up the stairs, they're starting to feel healed inside. Then everybody, as we're worshiping God, we're conscious and we're saying, "God, just heal the people all around me." I just wait for Steve or Vaughn or someone else just to start healing people. And worship can heal a lot of people through the warmth of just what we're doing. I've seen tons of people healed this way. It takes a lot of glory off man too then. But you know, how does God restore health to people? How does he heal people's wounds? It's by allowing God to work through us as his people. He can do extraordinary things and just come on people and whether we like it or not, just dust things. But generally speaking, God doesn't work that way. He works through us. He's chosen that. So what's another hallmark? We won't get into... We're still... Hang on, I've forgotten what heading we're under. That's a wonderful thing about using silly laptops. What the heck am I talking about? Building a welcoming fire of worship, of warmth, and also now of gladness. We've got to be full of gladness. What does that mean? Well, Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." You know, if there's one thing we've got to learn to do as Christians is serve the Lord, but serve him with gladness. Because when a revival first starts, everyone's excited. Wow, it's all gone home. But when it goes on week after week, we get a bit tired, you know. But mind you, we'd probably be at home watching TV or something. But, you know, tiredness comes in and there's nothing wrong with having a night off every now and again to relax. So don't take it the wrong way. But basically, we stop serving the Lord with gladness. We stop coming to the revival meetings with gladness. We're just hoping the presence of God will touch us to make us glad. But the Bible says we're supposed to come in before him with gladness. We've got to serve him with gladness. And gladness is a choice, not a feeling. Faith is the root, feelings are the fruit. If you make up your mind you're going to be glad, the feelings will come eventually with that. But you know, it's not a good enough excuse. So, well, I'm feeling grumpy today, so I'm not going to talk to anybody. That's all there is to it. I'm just being honest with you, I'm in a bad mood. That's not good enough. That's your flesh in a bad mood. What about the presence of God? To say to a friend who knows you, saying, "Yeah, I'm feeling a bit off today, but it's okay, we'll get there." That's being honest. But just to snob people off and be rude to them because you're in a bad mood is not good enough. You're certainly showing you're not a leader. Man alive, if every time I was tired or I didn't feel like doing things, you know, goodness me, I wouldn't preach half the time. You know? My flesh right now just wants to be in Disneyland or on a beach in a 5-star hotel watching John Wayne movies. Maybe that'll happen one day. Maybe not with my wife. She doesn't like those sort of things. I suppose I'll have to compromise and shop and all that sort of stuff. And but you know, but I'm saying, but we've got to serve the Lord with gladness. I could say, wow, this is about the 13th week now I've been doing these things, and what a busy schedule this week. I've got to preach tonight, and then I've got to preach tomorrow night, and then I've got to preach Friday night, then I've got to preach Saturday morning, the whole thing again. Then I've got to preach Saturday night, and I've got to preach Sunday morning, and I've got to preach Sunday night, because Vaughan wanted me to do the whole lot while I was away, so he stuck with me this week. But I've got gladness in my heart right now. Vaughan said to me, taking me to the airport, wow, it's really great, Steve. You know, you've got 6 or 7 meetings to build on. I said, yeah, well, you're in Israel. That's wonderful, Vaughan, you know. But I've made up my mind. I'm serving the Lord with gladness. It's going to be a great night tonight. It's going to be a great night tomorrow night. It's going to be a great night Friday night, Saturday morning. And if I have to be carried out the meeting Sunday night, well, that's okay. But I got to make up my mind. That's a pretty busy schedule. That's almost what I used to do all the time. But I haven't done it for a while. Friday nights and Sunday nights to me is easy, you know. And the School of the Spirit, when I'm only doing half the session, because Vaughan does that on Saturday, it's a pretty easy schedule. But this is getting into it this week. So, but that's good. So I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. Whether you're glad or not, that's what I'm going to do. Now, some of it will be easy because when the anointing comes, it's easy. But to get into that anointing, you've got to stir yourself up sometimes. So I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. These people have come tonight. So what if I'm tired, I haven't slept good, and things are happening behind the scenes, that like immigration, other things that aren't making me angry, just frustrating me? I've got to pull all that aside and think, these people are coming here to learn. They want to receive from God. And I owe it to be at my best for you to receive from God, because that's what it's all about, to equip you, to make you better than what you are now in the things of God. And the way we do it to one another, on the street, serve the Lord with gladness. And these guys don't have any problem with that. But you know, tonight, serve the Lord with gladness. Talk to each other with gladness in your heart. You realize I'm not talking about being fake, but I'm talking about releasing that joy, releasing that gladness. Actually look like you're actually interested in the person you're talking to. It's a pretty sad day, because sometimes after a meeting and revival, I think, oh no, here comes these people to talk to me. No, go away. Now don't go away, but that's what I'm saying. And then sometimes you'll come to talk to me, I'll see the other 50 people hanging around, and I think, I know, it's going to take me 2 hours to get to that back door, so I'll sneak out that door. But lately I've been saying, no, I won't. If there's people here, just even if it's just a hello, or just a pat on the arm, or an ee to someone, whatever. That's what we're here for. There's a limit. You know, don't start telling me your whole life story after a meeting, because it's not that I won't be interested. I'll just tell you to be quiet. It just won't make sense to me at that time, you know. But there's got to be gladness. If we're leaders, it's amazing to me when I hear guys say and gals, I got the call of God in my life, but I don't like people. You're in the wrong business, man. If you really don't like people and they bug you, you've got to change. And you change by serving the Lord with gladness. I never liked people until a man of God really rebuked me years ago and said, that's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard, Steve. Ministry is people. You don't mind getting the offerings out of them. You don't mind them looking after you. And those people sacrifice. And yet you don't like people. This number is so silly. Buck up, you know. And it really made me, I thought, yeah, all right. You've got to love people if you're in ministry. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. It doesn't matter what gift you are. Remember, Jesus was the epitome, the absolute epitome of an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And no matter what gift he moved in, he was full of the love of God. And so we've got to understand that just because you're an apostle doesn't mean you're just a sent one. It gives you the right to be rude to people, or whether you're a prophet. Now, personality types come through, and we're prophets, as we see with Vaughan, tend to be very intense. But I also see a great father's heart in his life as well, which will come out more and more as we get more and more into this thing. And so it doesn't mean we're all perfect, but we all have to love each other. We have to. People are very, very important. And so help each other. If you don't like people, you've got to change. You've got the problem, not them. Okay, Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Okay, so that's point number two. What's point number one? Unusual kindness. Point two? Right. And what's point three? Nah, that was under point two. I haven't given you point three. You don't even know what point three is. You silly people. No. Hey? Like people. Yeah, I like people. Do you like people, Tony? You told me the other day you can't stand people. What's the matter with you? No, he doesn't. He wouldn't say that. This is a good one. Right, we're on to point three now. From Acts 28, verse 3. Well, we read from verse 2 again. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper or a snake, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. I tell you, this is point three, and this is another hallmark of this church. The fire exposes the vipers in our life. The fire of God exposes the vipers in our life. You talk about the fire of God, he talks about bringing all the scum to the surface. All the bad attitudes and all the things that you lust for, all those things down there, they will all come up and out. Your rebelliousness, everything will show itself. It's like you're standing spiritually naked. And God usually uses leaders to say, you need to work on this, you need to work on that. And we know, we can either say no, but if we want to be a part of this revival, we've got to change. That's all there is to it. But fire exposes the vipers in our life. This is an interesting scripture in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 5. You guys enjoying this? I'm actually enjoying it. It's weird. Okay. Isaiah. Is it Isaiah? What do you say, Isaiah? It's Isaiah. Everybody say Isaiah. Isaiah. That's it. You're an Australian. That's it. How do you say it? Isaiah. 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 Where do you get Isaiah from? What is the matter with you people? Outnumbered, I suppose. Isaiah. Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Isaiah, old chap. Isaiah, old chap, 59, verse 5. It says, and that which is crushed, a viper breaks forth. That's in the King James. Your translation will say something like that. But the King James actually is the closest to the Hebrew word here. That which is crushed, a viper breaks forth. When you're crushed in an area in your life, if you've got any vipers in there, it will break forth. Whether it's in the form of a demon or whether it's in the form of emotional pain that you've locked in there for years, all it takes is a bit of crushing and brokenness to come into your life, and out it will come. And the good news is you can be set free from it, like Cliff was the other day, and like many of you have been over these weeks. Clint Eastwood. Go ahead, make my day. If I remember that when I look at you, I'll never forget your name. Bruce, yeah. Clint. They call me Booth. All right. So fire exposes the vipers in our lives. Out of that which is crushed, a viper breaks forth. What is this meaning? Hurts, resentments, unforgiveness, etc. All surface when the heat of the fire comes out, or comes and out comes the viper. Revival is deliberately designed by God to bring out all the hurts, the resentment, the unforgiveness, if you have it, that's it. And it all surfaces when the heat of the fire of God comes. So when people are falling under the power of God, and I'm saying don't get up until the presence of God lifts off you, you'll often hear me say, listen, God's working, he's breaking things off you, he's taking things out of you, and he's putting good things into you. So what I mean, if there's any hurts, resentments, or things under the power of God, how do you know when you get off the floor? When you feel his presence starting to lift. If it doesn't lift off you, stay there. Because whether you hear his voice directly or not, his presence is doing 101 different things in your life. He did it for me and he'll do it for you. And so you talk about wanting the fire of God. You're asking God, you're really saying to God, fill me with your fire. God interprets that as, okay, so you want me to expose every hurt and every unforgiveness and every resentment in your life. I'll do it. Your flesh will react like mad. But if you hand it over to me, you see, when gold is refined, they refine it about 7 times. They heat it up. And the beautiful gold, as it's all there melted, all the scum comes to the surface. And they've got this special scraper. They scrape all the impurities and the scum off the top. And they'll do that at least seven times over a period of a day. All the impurities come to the top. Well, it's exactly the same. God's purifying fire. The fire of God's the power of God. And so when you say, fill me with your fire, he says, okay, out comes the resentment, out comes the unforgiveness, out comes the bad attitudes, out comes the matriarchal problems, out comes everything. And that's exciting. Because the fire of God also has the ability to get rid of it. But when it comes to the surface, you just got to let God take it away. And sometimes it might take more than one meeting. Because sometimes a lot of our problems are not demons. I always remember seeing this photograph in a cartoon of the devil kneeling outside a church, crying his eyes out, saying, they blame me for everything in there. You know? And sometimes we do. I believe in the devil. But I believe a lot of our problems are we've made wrong choices in life. And so we've got to, when we make up our mind, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm following God with all my heart. If you have any demonic oppressions, they will lift off you. Why? Because the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you can deliver yourself by simply, if you have demonic problems, by simply submitting to God. And as you submit to God, which means go his way, not your way, and as you're submitting to him, I hear a lot of people say, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No, he won't. If you're not submitted to God, he will not flee from you. You can quote it all you like. Submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. He's got no choice. And so if you have a demonic problem inside your heart, there'll be somebody around with a discernment gift of discerning and have the authority to get it out, or you'll just deliver yourself as you go along. The Word of God is the best source of delivering you, and he can do it on your bed. He can do it while you're at work. And it doesn't mean you start coughing up demons. It just means you just know you're free from something. And it could be just a soulish thing. It might not be demons at all. Doesn't really matter. But God will bring it to the surface. That's the importance of revival fire. How many of you see the fire of God in a different light now? So when you come out the front here and all the hurts and resentments are coming up and unforgiveness, I see some of you crying and some of you looking like you're about to explode. But that's all good. It means you're submitting to the fire of God. And then what happens then? The more you get cleaned out, then that fire is ready for you to be used out in the streets or in everyday work life, whatever. It's exciting. Okay, so it's not always the devil, because gold is purified by the heat of the fire of God. Either way, it's going to submit itself as we just submit to God. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Is that how you say it over here, Zechariah? Oh, good. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. It says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. This is talking about people who are submitting to the refining fire of God. And as they submit to the refining fire of God, they begin to be tried as gold is tried. And because as a result of that, you always know if you're in the fire of God. If you're in the fire of the devil, you'll turn bitter, you'll turn resentful, you'll be confused, and you certainly won't want to glorify God. But when you're going through the fire of God and all the resentments are coming up to the surface, as you're giving them over to him, you'll find you're calling on his name, you're becoming closer to Jesus, and he's hearing you. A lot of people can't hear God because they haven't allowed God to deal with the innermost part of their innermost being. It's a fact. Some people carry hurts from things that have been said to them as children, or they've been abused, or something's happened, and it affects them. Many, I've talked to people who are 70 years of age, who are still not doing anything for God, yet they're the most beautiful, wonderful, committed people you could ever meet. But in their own personal life with God, they don't know how to hear him. They don't know how to hear his voice. And I keep telling him, if you're going to go by scripture, it's because you're not allowing the refining fire of God to bring all that up. And once they start to grab a hold of it, I've seen people in their 70s get on fire for God and let all the rubbish come to the surface, and it's like, poof, they just do more in the last few years of their life than they did the whole life. It's never too late. But do you get that? I will try them as gold is tried. Then they will call on my name. When you are under the fire of God, you don't like it, but the result will be, if you're calling on the name of the Lord and God's hearing you and you're hearing him, It is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. You see, they hear him say, hey, you're my people. You're my man. You're my woman. And they shall say, yeah, and you're my God. It's a two-way relationship with God. If you haven't got it, I can guarantee you 100%, not one or two cases, every case of anybody in here or anyone else in the world who's a Christian but cannot hear the voice of God, and no matter how much you love him with all your heart, you just can't seem to communicate with him, I'm telling you, you have not submitted to the fire of God. You haven't allowed it to come up and out. You've just used that time for worshiping him, when you should be saying, okay, God, hit me with that fire. I want it. Bring everything up and out now. And he'll do it. No problem. So stick that up your pipe and smoke it. That's worth that was worth $100 just there. Proverbs 27, verse 21. It says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold. You know, you find silver in a pot and the furnace for gold. So is a man to his praise. In other words, so is a man who submits, just like silver submits to heat and gold submits to heat and it melts and all the impurities come to the surface. A man is worthy to be, not it doesn't say this, so is a man to his praise of a man or a woman who submits to this and they are free in God. This is what it's meaning. Just like gold is free and pure, so we become that as we submit to God. In other words, gold is purified by fire. When we allow the heat of the fire to purify us, then our praise and boasting will be in God, not of ourselves. That's what that scripture's meaning. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them. We're the sons of Levi, because this Levitical priesthood are equivalent to, we are the royal priesthood who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a priesthood of all believers. And so he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and shall purify the sons of Levi. He'll purify the ones in the Kingston Revival and purge them as gold and silver. Why? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But we can confess that all we like, but if we don't live it, it means diddly squat. We've got to live it. And only God, by submitting to his refining fire, will do it. And if we're wanting revival, we've got to let that fire touch us this way. All right. Point number four. It's found in Acts 28, verse 3, 2. It says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. Okay, what's this talking about? You see, we will be resolute in our faith in Christ. That's another hallmark of this revival. We will be resolute in our faith in Christ. I'll explain what that means. We will be resolute in our faith in Christ. What does this mean? You see, when people, listen to this, when people see the viper fastened on our hand by the fact we're going through a hard time or we're struggling with something. So as the people see the viper fastened on our hand, so to speak, they will often see the weakness and say they'll never amount to much. They're finished. Have you ever looked at someone who struggles with an area of their life or they just got some weird things about them? You can say, they'll never amount to much. It's a normal humanistic thing that we do with our minds. And they did it in the Old Testament. That's why God had to say to Samuel, you're just like any other man. You're looking at the outward appearance. But I'm not a God who looks at the outward appearance. I'm a God who looks at the heart. And so we can look at someone and think, they're a bit unusual. They're a bit weird. Or, I know, they're in sin, whatever. We see whatever. It's fastened on them. We can see it. But what we don't realize is that person submits to God and the fire of God begins to burn in them, they're going to change just like we are. And so you're remembering their weirdness when they've actually changed. So therefore, you're holding them back. You've got to see a person's heart. I've seen the most incredible weirdos come in my meetings over the years who I've trained, and they're great people today. Why? They love me because I just simply believed in them. That's all I did. I have an ability to look into people's hearts, and I see what maybe some don't see. I don't always know what's wrong with them. I haven't got the greatest discernment for that. But I can see the potential in people. I don't care whether they're in their 10th marriage. I don't care whether they've had a witchcraft. I don't care if they've got the most weirdest things. I don't care whether they've got bad BO, bad breath. I don't care. I see their heart. Then once I see their heart, my job is to train them to become that man and woman of God if they'll listen to me. It'd be pretty silly if they didn't, if they knew I loved them. So when we see the viper fastened on our hand, so to speak, they will often see the weakness and they'll say, "We'll never amount to much. They're finished." But that's not the attitudes. That's not the hallmark. That's not the distinguishing factor with us here at King's Fire International. We here at King's Fire International will encourage and believe in people that all will be well as they trust God. All will be well as they trust God. That's one of the things we were singing when Roy was here. Remember? It is well. All is well. We kept singing it over and over and again. Why? Because that's an encouragement. It's a belief in people that all will be well as they trust God. Remember, listen to this, the crowd's opinion will change as they see the Jesus in you. Why do you think they didn't accept Jesus in his hometown? Because they just saw him as Joseph the carpenter's son, the boy they saw helping their dad in the barn or whatever, building things. He's the Messiah, you've got to be kidding me. And so we've got to be careful we don't do that to people. Okay, Acts 28 verse 5. It says, but Paul, end of verse 4. This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. So it was obviously a poisonous snake, because the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing him, that nothing unusual happened, his face didn't explode or his body didn't explode, he didn't die. They changed their minds and said he was a god. They've gone from thinking he's full of devils now to now the snake has bitten him and he's showing no ill effect of poison being in his system. Now he's suddenly a god. Now listen, that's the point number... what's this, point number 5? We will shake the vipers off. I've already more or less been saying that through. When the fire brings all the scum to the surface, it's scraped away. We allow God to do that. But we will... by an act of our will and surrendering to Jesus Christ, we will shake the vipers off. Everybody say it after me. 1, 2, 3. We will shake the vipers off. In other words, we choose to live healed. It's no use always having a futuristic thing that says, I'm really going to believe I'm going to be healed tonight. No, we're going to say, I'm already the healed. And if in the process of being healed more stuff's got to come up, good. But you're a lot more healed now than you were last week. And you're a lot more healed last week than you were 2 months ago. You just have to look around and see the changes. I don't know a lot of you that well, but I know you enough to see that what I saw of you 3 months ago, you are completely different in your countenance now. And I mean that. From church leaders to people in leadership to people who've just been attending this revival, I can see it. It says Holy Ghost, and I'm sure I've changed too. Hopefully I have. I've seen my wife changing, and she was good before, but she's better now. Why? Because we all haven't arrived just yet, but we are learning to live healed. And it's a big difference. People are going like this to me all the time. Oh, this. Look at him at the back in the sound booth. Do that again. Yeah, you gutless wonder. Who's up there too? Is that Sarah up there? All I see is black faces. You could be a couple of black people for all I know. No offense, Don. I'm learning you can't say that in America, can you? In Australia, blackies are blackies, whiteies are whiteies. But over here, I said that in this church, that they all laugh. So, but now they're here. Please forgive me, my dear colored brother. So in other words, we've got to learn to live healed. You see, Don's learned to live healed, or else he would have been offended by that. He would have picked up his handbag and waddled out of here, but he didn't. Just as well we're friends, isn't it, Don? Don't you worry. He gives me a hard time behind the scenes. Don't you worry. He's not the nice pastor you think he is. He's pretty vicious himself. What's that? That's right. I thought you said someone has to go and get me some cinnamon toast. I did. I thought, good. If anybody's got any cinnamon toast, go get me a piece. Honestly, that's what you said. We will shake off the vipers. We're going to live healed. Everyone say, we're going to live healed. We're not going to let offenses get into our spirit. We're going to forgive immediately. Going to get it out of our spirit immediately. We're going to forgive the immigration department immediately. If anybody's watching on webcam from the immigration department, they all love you here. I'll learn to. No, I love you too. You shouldn't have said that to me, Sharon. It's this cheekiness in me now. I just want to go for it now. Sometimes we can receive a tongue lashing, that I'll get later, from a person that the fire has stirred up all the muck in their lives. Forgive them and be healed. If someone's under the fire of God and say anger is coming up and surfacing, then they're going to be angry about everybody. You've got to learn to discern whether they're just being rude or whether it's the dealings of God on them and it's all surfacing. You've got to give people a little bit of breathing room. Sometimes we need to be told to say, hey, you know, come off it. But sometimes it's just people being dealt with by God. And that should be dealt with within a few days, not carry on and on and on. But we've got to give each other a bit of breathing room. And rather than get offended, maybe it's just the dealings of God on somebody. If it's not, they need correction. They need buck up. All right. But sometimes we receive a tongue lashing from a person that is the fire that has stirred up the muck in their lives. Forgive them. Oh, you got cinnamon toast. Thank you. Hmm. Anybody want a bite? Well, let's get the point on him now. This was all planned, you see. Oh, I need a drink now. Tell you what, when you guys start preaching regularly, you'll have to learn to use humor and these little breaks. Because if you don't, you won't last long. Okay, so if somebody, you're on the end of someone giving you a tongue lashing who's obviously going through the dealings of God, obviously, then we've got to be people who just say, okay, we've just got to cop it sweet and just pray for those people. Sometimes people need telling off, and other times they just need to be told, hey, we love you, man. You're going to get through this. And that really is the best thing to, it's the best remedy. It's the best way to deal with people when they're involved in that sort of thing. So we've really got to just be resolute in our faith in Christ. You see, we've got to be people who encourage and believe in people, as I said earlier, and we'll be, and that all will be well as they trust God. Because the crowd's opinion is going to change. You can put your whole life around somebody with where they're at right now, trying to control you or trying to, or they're just being angry at you or whatever. But if you give into that, you don't antagonize either. But if you give into that, then when they get set free from that, their opinion of you will change because it was something inside of them that was reacting to you. And so why should you be swapping and changing and becoming a schizophrenic because some say, we love that. No, we don't like that. We love that. We don't like that. Sounds too loud. The sound's too soft. My ears are deafening. Well, wear earplugs, you know. And so there's a middle road you've got to take with people at times. Where if it's too darn loud, which we're trying to correct that more and more, you know. But you know, you can't just do it for the ones and twos. You got to get the right sound level, which we'll get there. We need to get some proper sound gear in here. It's a horrible hall for sound. That's the problem. And that's just by the way, because that's what people seem to be bringing up most weeks. But we've got to learn just to be people who are understanding. See, these guys, when they thought that he was demonized and God was judging him, because they said, oh, a viper's just bitten him. He's shaking it off. But you see the fang marks. That's what they were meaning. He's going to die. But when they see he didn't blow up, he didn't fall down dead. He didn't scream out in any sort of agony as the blood went through his system. He just shook it off and nothing happened. The whole opinion of those islanders changed from him being demonized to he's a god. Now they wanted to worship him. Just like that within a second. And people will do that with you. I'm telling you now. When they hear you've gone through something, oh, that don't amount to much. Who wants to listen to them? But as soon as they see God's favor on you, bang, their crowd's opinion will change just like that. I know, I've had people that have hated my guts over the years because of my sort of personality. It does offend some people. And sometimes I need to pull my head in, but most of the time, it's their problem, you know. You've got to be who you are. I can't fit into another person's armor. I'd love to be a squeaky clean preacher who never says anything wrong and just talks on the love of God and dances like a ballerina. And I intend to do that, not be a ballerina, but I intend to be so nice. But I don't know, I just get that anointing of, I don't know what you call it. But it comes where I become as bold as a lion. Now, when you get up here more and more, and when you've been going 28 years, 6 or 7 nights a week, I'd like to see you produce the goods exact every time and never say anything out of line. It's impossible. So you either become a person who fits in, and if you try and fit in, the anointing won't flow through you. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived this life a lot longer than a lot of you here, except for John. He's 103. And Val, she's 150. But you've got to, I'm telling you, folks, this is all part of the revival. You've got to learn to be yourself. But yourself has got to be more and more like Christ. But what sort of Christ is going to manifest in us? I mean, he got peeved off one day and whipped people out of a temple. That word whip means cat of nine tails, bits of leather with metal in it. Because they were making the Father's house a place of merchandise. And so he overturned their tables, and one of the translations, one of the gospels says he whipped them, which was the same whip they used on his back. Isn't that amazing? And so that was the prophetic side of Jesus. But he was also the shepherd. He was the good shepherd. He was also the apostle. He was also the teacher. And so there are times we are not Jesus. We are his. He's the anointed one. We are his little anointings. We are his ambassadors. He's our big brother, so to speak. We represent him. And we've all got a touch of different giftings of Christ on us coming through our personality. God does not want you to change your personality. He loves you exactly the way you are. He wants to change the hurts and disappointments that have caused your personality to become hard or not really you. But the personality God's given you, revival fires, I'm telling you, the more you and I submit to God, the more of our personality, true personality, will come out. Think about this. What are you like when you're under the anointing? When there's a real powerful presence of God on you, you're at the front of you dancing around. What does it feel like? What do you feel like? Do you feel like you could take on the whole heavens and universe? Do you feel like the dream God's put in your heart, I can do it? Why? Because the anointing releases you from all your inhibitions. But soon as that ministering anointing lifts, then you go back to the way you think. So yeah, a little bit of the anointing and a lot of what you think. And the thing that makes you react or whatever in your life or causes you to stutter. I know people who have stuttering problems, but when they get up and preach under the anointing, it just completely lifts off them. Now, that could be a supernatural thing. It could also be, I believe, it's because that anointing makes them totally confident. So it makes them confident to speak. But when that anointing lifts off them, they go back to being shy or taking a long time to get to a point. The answer is, notice what you're like when you're under the anointing, and that is the real you. What God is going to put you through a refining fire to bring you to that person. Oh, a lot of our temperaments with one another, a lot of our arguments, a lot of our offenses are because we've been hurt somewhere in our life, and it reminds us of that in that other person. So we're really angry at ourselves, not the other person. It's just, they just remind us for some reason of something that happened to us. Well, why should you and I be subject to another person's abusive lifestyle that's been done to them and inflict that upon us? Now, we've got to be gracious and loving because we're all in a journey together. But I'm telling you, folks, one thing you're going to have to learn if you're going to be, we're in a school of the Spirit here, that's why I'm talking this way. I've learned the hard way and I'm still learning. You can't have an attitude, which I have had at times when I was younger, and sometimes it comes through in any... Again, where I don't care what you think, I'm going to do it. That's not really what it should be. It should be, listen, God's given me a specific armor, and he likes me. Because when I'm by myself and no one's around, and I'm out on my motorbike, God just tells me how much he likes me all the time. He says, I love the way you're cheeky from the platform, son. I'm not talking about all the stupid things I do. I go overboard sometimes. But he says, I love that cheekiness. I love that way you just call people out and you tell them you can't be bothered laying hands on them. And you lay hands on one person here and they all go down. He says, boy, me and the father, we just look at each other when you're doing that and think, wow, he's our boy. Now, this is what God's like, because that's his power doing it. But he's given me a temperament to be able to step out in that realm. And what caused me to do that Sunday night? I was just so peeved with the long meetings. I love Roy with all my heart. It was great meetings. But after the fifth hour, it's ridiculous. As he talked more and more, his face disappeared and all I saw was a mouth. Then I just saw a mouth standing on the platform. And I thought, can't take any more. Yet he's a great minister who travels the world. And I love him. And I've told him this too, so that's all right. And if you're listening, Roy. But anyhow, there's a point I was trying to make. That's right. And so I thought to myself, well, that does it. A lot of people won't come Sunday night because they'll be so tired. You couldn't blame them. And I was surprised to see how many did come out on Sunday night. But I thought, I'm just going to hit it right on the mark tonight. They tell me I've got a quick anointing. It's going to be so quick tonight. So I preached for about 15 minutes, lined everybody up, three lines. There were people from here right through the other wall. You saw what I did, laid hands on one, then bang, everybody fell down together in the whole three lines, whatever they were. And within 5 minutes, I timed it, 5 minutes, you had out of 70, 80 people that were here Sunday night, you had at least 60 of them under the power of God. Bang. All laughing. You saw it, I'm not exaggerating. That happened so quick. And I thought, thank God, this is what we need, genuine power of God. Less talking and more action, you know. And I think that's what bothered me. Wasn't a man's ministry. It was talk, talk, talk. It's got to be talk, action, talk, action. That's what it's got to be. Getting my drift. All right. What's the time? We're loaded here. Can I keep going for a few minutes? Do you mind if I keep going? Good, because I was going to do it anyway. But you see, when they see us shake the vipers off, it will give people hope and a willingness to get rid of their own vipers because they see Jesus working in us. You don't know how much you inspire people, Clint, when you just open up to God. I mean, if you hear Clint's testimony of what happened to him, it was last Tuesday night, wasn't it? Oh, it was a couple of Tuesday nights ago. Saturday morning, was it? He was just sitting there, and I just saw three demons lurking in his soul right in there. I didn't say that at the time. I saw it. So it came out here. And then the rest is history. But he said, you know, he didn't believe whether my ministry was real or not to that point. He didn't know whether it was all hype, all this stuff. He had everything opposing him to come to that meeting that morning. Even in the car park, he just wanted to turn around and go home. Because obviously the devil knew he was going to get set free. So he came and took that plunge and, well, you know, and he's been free from that thing. What it was doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter. He's just free. You can see it in his countenance. But anyhow, you know, but what has happened, you have inspired so many people. So many people were here that morning. Last Tuesday, we had a whole lot of deliverances going on here. Not quite as dramatic as yours, you know, but a lot of deliverances were happening here, from matriarchal spirits to controlling spirits to everything, to fetishes in people's lives of certain habits they had. And you could feel the authority as people were getting set free and released. And you see, that was all a result of you submitting to God. Because no matter how accurate I was, if you'd have said, no, I don't receive that, nothing would have happened. Because God doesn't take away your willpower. And so it's so important that we, as a result of you doing that, which probably might have been embarrassing for you for a few minutes, although your family was right behind you, but it was pretty dramatic. It released a whole lot of other people just a few days later to get released. And so that's a marvelous thing. And this is what it was. We shake off the vipers. People see the vipers being taken off us, or the strongholds, however you like to term it, and they think, wow, I've seen a change in that person's life. I've only been here a couple of weeks, but I can see that. Boy, I wonder if it'll work for me. And it opens them up to get touched by God. All right. They'll see God in us, and they'll see that God is very, very much alive. Okay. Acts 28, verse 7. It says there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius. What a name, Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. It'd be hospitably. How do you say hospitable? Hospitable, that's right. I've got, thank you. I really didn't know how to say that. Hospitable. I need to go to a linguistic school. Okay. Hospitable. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And people have tried to say that word doesn't mean angels, it means people. No, it means angels. Angels have the ability to appear as human beings and wear our clothes, and they can come as a woman or a man or a boy or a child or an old man or an old woman. It makes no difference. And they sometimes deliberately come to our home. Sometimes they're in the form of hitchhikers. Sometimes they're in the form of poor people on a street. And they're there from God to test you to see if you're going to be benevolent towards them. So you're going to be loving towards them and help them. And I could keep you here all night with stories of angels appearing to people that I know and as human beings and giving them a message from God, then just disappearing right before their eyes. Okay. And so, but hospitality, what are you talking about? Well, we have to learn to be hospitality. It says they welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us. They were showing them hospitality. And that's what we've got to be like, friends. We've got to, not just in case they are angels, but we've got to have that heart that just entertains and is hospitable. That's what the word entertain means. We've got to be hospitable towards people. Open up our homes to them. Open up our lives to them. Because that's all part of revival, friends. It's all part of a move of God. And it's going to be one of the qualifying marks, distinguishing marks for this revival. We've got to be hospitable people. And many of you are already. But be hospitable. Make people feel welcome. You know, that's really what it's all about. Okay, moving on now, because I want to give plenty of time for you guys to minister. Excuse me. Acts 28, 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him, and he was healed. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. Oh, gosh. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with supplies with needs. You see, point number, what's this, be seven? Yep, is healing signs and wonders. Because this man had a fever, he had dysentery, and Paul places his hand upon him, and this man gets instantly healed. To such a point, we don't know how big that island was, let's say a few thousand. They all came, all the sick from all around the island came, and every one of them were healed. And so healing signs and wonders is a great hallmark of this revival, or will be. Hebrews 2 verse 4 says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. See, healing often comes when we've allowed the fire of God to clean us up on the inside. Matthew chapter 21 verse 14 says that after Jesus whipped them all out of the temple, it says, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So it's important that we let the fire of God touch us. That's why it doesn't surprise me. The Lord is leading us that, you know, a lot of people are going to start to get saved. The signs and wonders are going to increase rapidly. Why? Because we're submitting to this revival. We're allowing God to clean up our lives. So the more we get cleaner, the more he comes into the temple with signs, wonders, and miracles. We're covering a lot of people with our purity and righteousness in Christ, and we're living it. Romans 15 verse 19 says, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Aquileum, I fully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders need to be a great part of all this, friends. Signs and wonders are what we go for. Now, we've seen a lot of people healed. But, you know, we're going to see a day where that gentleman who comes here a lot in the wheelchair. Power of God's so strong, we just say, get up now. Get up. That's what we've got to believe for, next phase. People are sitting there, not just with partially deaf hearing problems, but totally deaf, and their ears just pop open. People are sitting there, and they're in their last weeks of cancer, and God heals them and replaces the organs in their body right there. And they're running around the building because they know they're healed, and it's confirmed a few days later with their specials. That's the next level we're coming into. Now, thank God for everything else that's happening. We've got to remain with a thankful heart and not despise the day of small things. Because once we hit those big things, the media will be on us. Suddenly, pastors will be flying in from all over the world to see it. Why do you think? I'm telling you, I've been around this game lots of times. That's not a game. But once you hit that level, it's all exciting, but we'll be thanking God. God took time to build us up and expose us just to a tiny bit of power. We think this is it. We haven't seen nothing yet, seriously. We haven't seen nothing yet. Next thing will be the big miracles. Once that happens, it'll be 20, 30, 40 getting saved in the meetings and probably another 20, 30, 40 on the streets, possibly 80 to 100 a week starting to come in getting saved. If we keep 70% of them, that means this place will be growing by 100 a week at least. And so we just got to believe for these sort of things. It'll happen. I can see it prophetic. It's as clear as daylight, but it's just God's word anyway. We got to see that God's cleaning us out, the fire of God, the presence of God, and the joy of God. And he has a few little healings here and there to keep us with hope in our heart. And then all of a sudden, once the big thing hits, I don't want it to happen just in one meeting where someone gets healed. I want us to hit the jackpot where, bang, miracles start happening all over the place, in worship, in the preaching, in the altar calls, in words of knowledge, whatever. Because when that happens, we will have to go back to every night meetings just to fit the different crowds in every night. Or go and hire a much bigger place, one of the two. I'm telling you, folks, how many of you believe? How many of you believe with me? That's what's going to happen. That's why I've committed myself to this revival. That's why we've committed ourselves. I'm absolutely 100% convinced of it. Okay, and the last thing, we've already read it in verse 10. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with supplies that we needed. The last point, number 8, is honor. You see, they honored them. It says they honored us in many ways. They probably honored them with food, with blessing, with love gifts, in many ways, and we were ready to sail. And on top of that, they furnished us with supplies that we needed, food and supplies for the long journey on the boat. And so God's a good God, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. This means to esteem somebody else, especially in the highest degree. Now, what does this mean? To esteem someone, what's the difference between, I've heard ministers say, I don't encourage anybody, that's just flattery. That just gives them a big head. The difference between flattery and encouragement is one's from the heart and one's from the head to see what you can gain from that person. Like if I came up to Chris and say, well, I know he works for the police department, whatever he does, you know, and I go to him and I say, oh, you're a great guy, Chris, you really inspire me, but I'm really saying it with a heart to get something from him. That's flattery. But if I come up to him and say, you really inspire me, man, you're a great guy, and I'm saying it from here, that blesses and encourages him just like that. There's no ego involved. He doesn't get a swelled head. I don't get a swelled head. We're just encouraging each other in the Lord. People say, oh, well, you can't really go up and thank a preacher for his message because it wasn't him that gave it, it was God. Of course it was him that gave it. We need more encouragement than you all put together. You know? It's true. Because sometimes I wonder, I think, oh, God, did I really do all right? And when people say, that was good stuff tonight, I know you're meaning it from your heart and it builds me up. It makes me, keeps me going. It keeps me getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 to get here at 6 for the prayer meetings because it's worth it. Because sometimes you get first hour, I think, oh my God, it's only 6:45. We've got another hour and a quarter to go yet. And it's because and some mornings it's, wow, it's there straight away. And some mornings it's tough for me anyway. It might be good for you. Well, that's join the club. That's what it's all about. Character staying in there anyway. And from that verse 10 to in Acts 28, it says, they furnished us with supplies we needed. That's talking about great provision. That'll be another hallmark of this revival. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is what we are becoming in God. And we've got to go for it with all of our hearts. Let me recapitulate just very, very quickly. The hallmarks of King's Fire International, the distinguishing signs are unusual kindness. Secondly, we build a welcoming fire. Thirdly, the fire exposes the vipers in our lives. Four, we'll be resolute in our faith in Christ. Five, we'll shake the vipers off. Six, hospitality. Seven, healing, signs and wonders. Eight, honor. And nine, great provision. That's what it's all about. Now, there's many more things to the revival, But I can only give you that side, what he's putting in my heart to give. But I think that's a good place where to start. And so just remember this. If you didn't jot down the notes, get the tape after and forget my voice and there's funny Australianisms. Just listen to the tape and hear what God's saying through it. Get it in your spirit. So what happens as you start to see it happening, you think, oh, wow, God was telling us that a few weeks ago, a few months ago. Wow, this is good. When you see things being spoken and it's coming to pass, it gives you encouragement. Puts trust in your leaders, not that they're God, but they're hearing from God and taking you the right way. And we all together then become this great machine, just moving forward to plunder hell and populate heaven for God.